I'm Marnie Schulenberg, and this piece is called A Book Cave to Remember. Summer of 1955, the polio panic. My county, Outagamie, led the country in recorded cases. My folks were terrified. They found us a last-minute rental in Door County and packed us up there. We knew a family living in a relatively swank place on the lake. Our cottage failed to swank. It smelled like mushrooms past their prime. Doors, bed springs, everything with a hinge or rusty nail groaned. Grit stuck to your feet and transferred to fatigued bed sheets. I was enchanted. This was camping, by God. Here's the best part. That cottage in downtown Ephraim squatted a mere 15 yards from the handsome brick town hall and my favorite library of all time. It was a cave tucked under all that eternal stone. You'd yank hard on a substantial door, which opened into a tiny vestibule, then a sharp squeeze of a turn, and steep stairs down to a dark set of rooms that let in all kinds of light to hungry minds. And oh, the mystery aroma of books. The librarian scared me. Stooped, stern, dark dresses and stretched out gray cardigans. Glowing yellow raptor eyes that followed you everywhere, though I didn't look into them directly. I was 8, she was old, probably 60. How did she, so square and wide, negotiate those stairs? Was she a miss or a missus? I never saw her outside. I forget her name if I ever knew it. I decided she vanished every night into a lesser cave within the library, through another vault of a door where she rocked and hummed and knit sweaters out of spider webs. She had rules. Lowered voices, of course, no food, and a strict limit to checked out books. That rankled me, though I didn't peep. Thanks to this raptor of a librarian, after all, I had made the acquaintance of writers like E.B. White, C.S. Lewis, Mary Norton. Polio went away from most of us, thanks to Jonas Salk, but our tradition of rentals continued. The August of our Cliff House year, I challenged her. Why? I heard myself saying. She was seated, scribbling due dates on cover slips, and my view was of her knotty gray hair. Slowly, the chin came up. Say this was a scene from a Ray Bradbury novel. She'd have fried me with lightning bolts. My voice trembled, but argue I did. I mean, if I get them all read and return them on time, why can't I take out more books? My librarian spun the book stack and slanted her head to read the spines. I remember Treasure Island was among them. She made a smacky, clicky sound in one of her cheeks and shifted her gaze back to mine. Her eyes weren't yellow. They were chocolate brown and vaguely bloodshot. She started in asking questions. The thunderbrow cleared. We were having a conversation, just two humans talking. I found myself describing my number one reading spot up an apple tree. It overlooked a meadow. Its branches were perfectly spaced. Then my second favorite, a hammock in a grove of cedars, where you pushed off with one bare foot and the creaky whoosh served as soundtrack for the story. Here's what I think won the day, though. I surely stumbled around trying to explain how it violated some treasure center of me to bring back any of the books until they all had been consumed. That's my gang, I told her. I don't want us to split up until we have to. Like, someone's mom is calling you home for dinner. Of course you have to peel off and go home then. The game is over then. We reached an understanding. If I had the means to carry them securely, my hero librarian would look the other way. We were joined from that moment on in a rule-breaking, book-loving bond. In the critical scheme of things, not much separated us after all. Two word lovers walking this earth in the same century. I want to smell that library again. I want to climb that tree. I want to know her name.